Welcome to the I'm your host, Jonathan Landsman. As a quick Natural News Talk Hour, find our Natural News Talk Hour show recordings like the one you're listening to right now. Special events and discounts are available exclusively for Natural Health 365 Inner Circle monthly subscribers. Simply click the banner on this page and subscribe now. Our show today, Cancer Myths and Shocking Revelations. Our guest received his medical degree from Albert Einstein College of Medicine in 1966. He became dissatisfied with the limitations of conventional medicine and spent 2 years studying within European clinics, which combined the insights of spiritual wisdom and natural healing with the rational methods of modern science. One of the first practitioners of this specialty in the United States, our guest has been practicing medicine for well over 40 years. Today on the Natural News Talk Hour, we'll talk about cancer and the immune system in a very special way. And I hope you find this information important enough to share with your family and friends. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Philip Nkeo to our show. Dr. Nkeo, welcome.
Thank you, Jonathan.
This show is for educational purposes only. Always consult a trusted healthcare provider for medical issues that concern you and make an informed decision. For more information about Dr. Nkeo, you can visit philipnkeo.com, and I'll spell it for you, philipnkeo.com, philipnkeo.com. And obviously, we'd like you to stay with us right now. Listen very carefully to what Dr. Nkeo is going to talk to you about with cancer and the immune system, because I think you're going to find it really, really interesting. Dr. Nkeo, we've seen several reports, obviously, over the years that overall health of Americans is now declining at a rapid rate. I mean, the lowest among developed nations. Why is this happening, in your opinion?
Well, Jonathan, when I think of that question, I think back to my internship when I was back in the 1960s, when I just started being a doctor, and I heard a pediatrician give a talk. And he said that the problem with the health of children, and this was back in the 1960s, was that the grandmothers didn't live with their families anymore, because the grandmothers always knew what to do when the children got sick, and the mothers didn't know anymore. And I think that's one reason why our national health is declining, is because we've lost the traditional wisdom that we had generations ago of how to deal with illness in a hands-on way, in a practical way. So we just don't learn about that anymore. The second reason why I think our health is declining is that medicine in the U.S., perhaps more than in other countries, but it's happening all over the world, medicine has become a business. Medicine has adopted the business model. And that's an inherent conflict of interest, because the goal of a business is to have as many customers as possible and to be successful. And the goal of medicine is to heal your customers so that they don't need you anymore. And so the goal of medicine is healing, and the goal of business is really to just continue to have a profitable business. So medicine really cannot be a business, and that's a conflict of interest that is causing the indirectly. Of course, the doctors do try to heal their patients, but the system is not really set up that way. The third reason why our health is declining is because of all the environmental toxicity in our environment, and we are exposed to this 24/7. Toxicity from the chemical industry, from the fossil fuel industry, from the agribusiness industry, pesticides and herbicides, genetically engineered foods, and I would also have to include toxins that come in through the vaccinations that children receive. And I would say the fourth reason why our health is declining is that people no longer have. This is connected to the first reason, the grandmothers. People no longer have a understanding of what really constitutes health, and a lot of it is due to the power of the PR industry and the advertising industry that tends to confuse us and make us think that drugs can confer health, but drugs really cannot confer health. Health is something that we have to work on ourselves, mainly through our own lifestyle. And so there is a lot of PR and advertising today that tends to exaggerate levels of fear and make us dependent on the healthcare system. And to be healthy, we really have to learn to be responsible for our own health and to know how to take care of ourselves.
Isn't it interesting, Dr. Nkeo, when I'm listening to you talk about these four things, this idea of it being a business, trying to control things a certain way, a lot of people listening to this, they already understand that. But really at the root of all this is this idea that you just said at the end of being so afraid, right? How crazy does it sound to even say it this way, that we're to be so afraid, right? And so then we look to someone as an expert, like yourself, Dr. Nkeo. You're a medical doctor, and yet so many conventionally trained physicians today, they have been victimized by so many fear tactics in getting through medical school and the pressures of trying to diagnose illnesses in like 90 seconds. And if you don't do that, if you don't come up with a diagnosis and the correct answer as to what drug to put to what illness, you're a failure in the eyes of your peers and the teachers that are teaching you in medical school. I'm sure you can relate to what I'm saying. And then, my goodness, you know, how could we not expect that fear tactic that is so deeply ingrained into their bodies doesn't get, you know, dispensed to all the patients that they see afterwards? And it's just fear, fear, fear. And all of this is in the name of getting healthy. It's crazy, right?
It is. That's very true. Our whole medical system is fear-based. It is fear-based. And fear is one way of improving business. And it's used that way quite purposely and cynically, I would say. The fear-mongering is used to create business, not only in the medical profession, but in others too.
So, Dr. Nkeo, I mean, obviously, all of this makes no sense to anybody. This is not a way of healing the human body. So I know you've written extensively about the need for a widespread change in the thinking about health and illness, and a lot of people are with you on this, but can you explain what you mean by that, please?
Yes, I think the change we need is a change in our thinking that really empowers the patient. The patients need to be empowered. Right now, they're disempowered, and all the power is in the medical system. But children should be taught by their elders and by their teachers how to take care of their health so that they can do what they need to do in the world. And when they're not taught that, then they are disempowered. Most of us grow up really quite ignorant of how our own body works. And when something goes wrong and we get sick, in our ignorance of what's happening to us, we become very fearful. And if we don't have a wise grandmother to turn to who understands what's happening on a very practical level, it doesn't have to be a scientific understanding, but actually it is scientific, but in a very, really practical, hands-on way. If we don't have a wise grandmother to turn to who can reassure us that our illness is just a normal process that we always go through, I mean, children, it's part of childhood to get sick as we grow up, to have fevers and so forth. And they even have a beneficial purpose. They are part of childhood development. But if we don't know these things, then we become very fearful. And so we go to a doctor who diagnoses and treats us, but who doesn't have the time or sometimes the interest or even the knowledge to help us to understand the meaning of the illness for our own life. I would say that just when there's an accident, there's always an investigation afterwards. Of course, the investigation is to assess liability. But in case of illness, there also needs to be an investigation, not to assess liability or blame, but in order to learn from the illness so that we can become healthier and can avoid getting that same illness again. So I've been practicing medicine for 48 years, and I've learned that illnesses are not just random malfunctions of our body to be fixed. They are valuable learning experiences that both the patient and the doctor should be paying closer attention to.
And Dr. Nkeo, I hope that exactly what you just said in these few minutes that we've started to talk, that this is a massive revelation for people, especially those experiencing cancer. This is the name of this program, and that's exactly why I wanted, maybe at the beginning, people wondering, what on earth does this have to do with cancer? It has everything to do with cancer. What you just said, Dr. Nkeo, is that when somebody is diagnosed with cancer, the fear strikes them right to their soul. They don't know what to do. And then the doctor is saying, well, you didn't have cancer before, but now you have cancer, and we're going to give you chemo and radiation and surgery. And then there's some sort of initial evaluation that the cancer is gone and the person is relieved, or the person is told, you still have cancer and we need to do more treatments, and the state of fear stays in the body and the person remains uneducated about why on earth the cancer came about to begin with. And I think that's exactly what you just said.
Yes. Really, we should be learning when we're young how to prevent cancer in the future. Cancer usually comes when we're older, not always, but usually. But the cancers take about 20, 30 years to build up. And if we understood the kind of behaviors and the kind of influences in our lives and the kind of factors that tend to move us in that direction, then we could really prevent that. But we never hear about prevention except for, certain things, avoiding radiation and so forth, of course. But really, it needs to be understood on a much more practical level.
Another revelation out of what you just said, tying back to the title of this program, Dr. Nkeo, is the idea that when people are told they have cancer or some sort of illness, like you were alluding to earlier, it's like you have it now. But there was nothing that you did in that kind of statement that most conventionally trained doctors talk about with their patients. There's no understanding that it took years to develop, that we actually have cancer cells going around in our body all the time. It's just our immune system is taking care of it. Isn't that fair to say?
Yes, that's right. It's possible for anyone and everyone to get cancer. So it's a possibility for all of us. But exactly why some of us do and some of us don't, that's not understood. And that's really an individual thing that every patient has to be educated so that they look into their own life. And some people do. I've had cancer patients who actually, when I ask them, where do you think this cancer came from? That's a question that Bernie Siegel advised doctors to ask. When I asked that question, some of them knew. Some of them actually knew. They had thought about it and they knew. So it is possible to get a personal, intuitive feeling about what your cancer came from. But before we talk further about cancer, I'd like to talk a little bit more about the whole problem of germs, infections, and the immune system, which is so confused today. Most of us think that germs attack us and then invade our body and then start feeding on our cells and tissues. And that's what makes us sick. And we think of our immune system as an army that guards the entrances of our body and doesn't allow the invading germs to enter. And if the immune system fights off the germs that want to invade us, that keeps us from getting sick. So people say, I haven't had a cold in 20 years. I have a strong immune system. But that's the way most people think of it, even many doctors think about it. But that really, the scientists who study germs know that this whole scenario that I just mentioned is a huge oversimplification. And the truth is far more complex and more difficult to explain. Dr. Lewis Thomas, who wrote the very popular book back in the 1980s, The Lives of a Cell, he said in that book that the germs in us are not the hostile predators that we imagine, but they're actually more like bystanders, and that what really makes us sick is when our own immune system overreacts to the mere presence of the germs in us. And another thing that people don't understand is that from soon after our birth until we die, we are continually living in peaceful coexistence with about 100 trillion germs in our body. That's part of our normal condition. We have 100 trillion germs in us, and many of these germs are the same ones that cause infectious diseases. So we have our own individual ecosystem. The scientists call it our microbiome. And each of us has our own unique microbiome. That's a cutting-edge field nowadays, what the scientists are studying. But what are they doing? What are these 100 trillion germs doing? Well, they're certainly not predators because we don't even notice their presence. They're just living, coexisting peacefully. They are actually scavengers that feed on the waste and debris that our body is continually producing. And the parts of our body, like our large intestine, our colon, that harbor the most waste and debris are the same parts that harbor the most germs. So most of our microbiome lives in the large intestine.
So, Dr. Nkeo, why don't we talk a little bit more now, since you are talking about this waste and debris, which I would imagine, if it really accumulates inside the body, can cause a lot of health problems for people. Where does the waste and debris come from? Talk to us about it.
Well, this is something we also are generally, we overlook it. We don't realize that every human body and even every animal body is continually generating waste and debris that then becomes toxic simply because the cells which make up our body do not live forever. They only have a fairly limited lifespan, and it's different in different parts of the body. But our cells are continually dying and being replaced by new cells. And all of the cells which die wind up becoming toxic waste and debris, which our body must fully break down and digest and eliminate in order to stay healthy and to keep a clean, vibrant internal milieu. So there's a never-ending turnover of just about all the cells and tissues of our body, except the brain and the spinal cord. There the turnover is much, much slower. But for the rest of our body, about every 7 to 10 years, all the cells and tissues have been fully replaced. So the body we had 10 years ago is no longer existing as far as the material, physical matter of our body is concerned. All of that matter has been discarded and replaced. So we replace our body every 7 to 10 years. And in that breaking down of the old body is continually creating waste and debris, which if we don't eliminate it, will then create and will provoke an inflammation.
You know, that alone, Dr. Nkeo, is such an empowering message, going back to what you said before. I mean, you know, I'm going to make it sound like a joke, but if we're renewing ourselves every 7 to 10 years, what great potential is there? I mean, we could just simply look at that time frame and see how much are we running our bodies on Twinkies and fast food hamburgers versus really healthy food and healthy thoughts and a healthy lifestyle, no?
That's right. That's right. That's right. And the food that we eat should generate healthy energy in us. And that energy works through all the processes of our body. But we don't get good energy from Twinkies and chips and junk food and things like that. So we have the wrong idea about germs. We think they're predators and they're actually only scavengers. We also have the wrong idea about infection. We think we're never infected except when we get sick, but actually we have 100 trillion germs all the time in our body. So you could say that we're always infected. So what happens when we get sick? Well, when we get sick, it's really an inflammation, and the inflammation is causing all of our symptoms like pain, like fever, like, you know, feeling weak. Those are all symptoms of inflammation in our body, and what causes inflammation is our own immune system. the main purpose of our immune system is to create inflammation in our body. And that's the third misconception. We think that inflammation is only an abnormal process of illness, which it is an abnormal process of illness, but it's also a normal, at the same time, this sounds paradoxical, it's also a normal healing process. If we were unable to create inflammation in our body, we would not be able to heal from cuts in our skin, our wounds. We would not be able to heal our bones after a fracture. The healing process entails an inflammatory response, which is created by the immune system as a healing. So really, the purpose of our immune system is to create inflammation. And the inflammation is not only that, it's not only healing, but it also, and this is very important, nowadays we hear about, you might have heard the term neuroplasticity, that the brain has to be supple and malleable and adaptable in order to function. If the brain is not plastic enough, if it's not changeable, adaptable, it gets stiff and it gets rigid, and then we kind of begin to suffer from, you could say, cognitive decline or dementia, or, you know, our thinking gets stuck, which is what happens to a lot of people when they get older. And so how do we create neuroplasticity in our brain and in our whole body? And we do that through the immune system, really. The same chemicals that work in the immune system also help to create plasticity in our body. So that's why throughout, I would say for many, many hundreds of years, people understood that when a child goes through their childhood illnesses and gets fevers, I once had an African patient, and I said to the patient, when you were growing up in Africa, what did your parents do when you got a fever? And he said, well, they would wrap me in blankets, and then I would sweat, and then I would get better. And you see, that is the really the old wisdom. Many indigenous cultures still do that. And that's based on the understanding that the body is trying to become more plastic, you could say, more malleable, more supple. Warmth makes the body more permeable. And a child growing has to keep their body permeable and plastic. And warmth and fever is part of that process. So this is very different from how we think of these things today, but we need to begin to understand that.
Dr. Nkeo, I hope that all the cancer patients, especially out there, anybody suffering with a very serious illness, is listening so carefully to what you're saying. And I especially hope that our healthcare providers that listen to this program really take this to heart and really try to incorporate as much as possible all of these ideas in their practice. Because, you know, again, not to go against what you said earlier, but honestly, I've said this many times on our program before your appearance, Dr. Nkeo, I think this is actually very good for their business to be able to do this kind of medicine, to be able to teach these kinds of concepts. I mean, people who are so sick out there would come running to a person's practice, a doctor's practice, if they would practice medicine this way, and it is growing in its popularity. As a quick reminder, Natural News Talk Hour show recordings like the one you're listening to right now, special events and discounts are available exclusively for Natural Health 365 Inner Circle monthly subscribers. Simply click the banner on this page and subscribe now. Dr. Nkeo, let's get into this now. This will be very interesting, especially for those cancer patients out there who are very concerned about their immune system. How does our immune system help us to stay healthy?
Well, one of the ways is what I just mentioned. The immune system is always, you could say, doing an ongoing house cleaning of our body. And most of the time, we don't even notice it. It often happens while we're sleeping. And then we wake up in the morning and we cough up a little mucus and so forth. And that mucus is really the waste matter, the waste product of the house cleaning that was going on while we were sleeping. The immune system is kind of, when it works in low gear, so to speak, at a low level, we don't notice, we're not sick, we're well, but it's constantly kind of mopping up any waste and debris and then eliminating it from our body. So it's an ongoing house cleaning activity of the immune system. And this house cleaning prevents our body from, you could say, depositing and getting sclerotic. You know, as we get older, we start to form calcium deposits in our muscles or joints, and our bodies get stiff. We lose the suppleness that we had when we were young, and that's because the immune system hasn't been dissolving and it hasn't been doing its job. It hasn't been keeping up with the house cleaning that's needed. And so things tend to deposit, calcium deposits and other forms of deposition. And this makes our body stiffer, and it causes deposition inside our arteries. And this is what happens to many people as we get older. These are the conditions of aging, but it doesn't have to be that way if we knew how to keep our house cleaning activities active, which is involved with the activity of the immune system, really. We only think of the immune system as killing germs, but the immune system actually is what detoxifies us from all the environmental toxins, and we're exposed to more and more and more of those in modern life. All of the toxins in our environment, they enter our body, and the immune system basically breaks them down and digests them and eliminates them, often without our even knowing it. So we need our immune system for this ongoing house cleaning.
And so when you talk about the immune system in the past, Dr. Nkeo, I know you mentioned this as a double-edged sword. Can you explain what that means, please?
Well, what I mean is that the immune system, you see, it's interesting. Today, the conventional medical science is really trying to figure out how to stop inflammation or how to prevent inflammation. And they say, well, inflammation is involved in all illnesses. And that's true. There's even inflammation involved in cancer. But again, it's more complicated. There are two kinds of inflammation. There's the acute inflammation, which is the inflammation that children tend to get. Now, in other words, a child, let's say a six-year-old child, will get 102, 103 fever. They'll be in bed. They won't eat. They may take a little fluid. They'll burn up. And then a day or two later, they'll be fine. And that's often, you know, of course, we worry about them. But if we know what to look for, if we have a grandmother in the house, we know that a 5 or 6 year old child getting a fever is not anything to be terribly panicked about. One has to know what to look for. Most fevers are benign, but there are, of course, some fevers that are dangerous. It depends on the illness that's causing the fever. It's not the fever itself that's dangerous. It's the illness that causes it. So, but most fevers are benign in children, and that's where we need the wisdom of the grandmother to be able to tell the difference between a benign fever and a dangerous fever that's a symptom of an illness. But in any case, that's an acute inflammation. Usually it's connected with fever, and usually then after the fever, there's a discharge of the waste matter that the body has been just digesting. And so the child will produce a lot of mucus, you know, the nose will run and so forth, or they may have vomiting and diarrhea. But then that's all the waste matter coming out, the discharge. And that's a healthy process. It's a real cleansing, detoxification process. Now, that's an acute inflammation. Now, chronic inflammation is really totally different. It's like the difference between a fire that burns very hot and very clean and then burns itself out, or a fire that smolders and smolders and smolders and never burns itself out. It just keeps smoldering. And that's a chronic inflammation. That's like arthritis or like many of the autoimmune inflammations that adults get are chronic inflammations. And there's even chronic inflammation connected with cancer. But conventional science usually doesn't make a clear distinction between an acute inflammation and a chronic inflammation. They just think, well, it's inflammation. And they look at the cellular process that's involved. But if you look at the whole body, if you look at the big picture, the outcome of a chronic inflammation is totally the opposite from the outcome of a benign acute inflammation. Totally, totally different things. And that's very important to understand that. Because if you don't have enough acute inflammations in your childhood, you will be more prone to getting autoimmune disease or cancer in your adult life, in later life. And I know that's totally unconventional. I know the conventional doctors will probably very strongly disagree with that idea. But actually, years ago, way back in the early 20th century, there were some studies done in Europe that found that cancer was more common in adults who had had very few fevers in their childhood or no fevers in their childhood. So that's very important. Fevers burn up the accumulated toxic waste and debris, and they actually cleanse the body.
Dr. Nkeo, I don't know if you have any comment on this, but I've spoken to a lot of vaccine researchers as well, a lot of physicians who are absolutely feeling like we've seen nothing yet in terms of what we've done to our children and what's going to happen in future generations. What I'm referring to is this whole craze about vaccines. You know, as the mother's innate immunity is not really being passed on to the child, they're teaching everybody to be afraid of germs, to vaccinate for everything that wears away in 10, 20 years anyway. These bodies that are growing up have no sense living indoors and not even being allowed to go outside because you got to be afraid of germs, and the kids are not even playing with each other anymore, and they're suppressing every symptom in the world with drugs when they're early. All of this stuff has got bodies that, you know, quite frankly, are dumbed down and have no idea how to deal with anything as they get older. Is that a fair statement?
Well, I think it is. I think the bodies are not, you could say, the real inflammatory processes, the healthy inflammatory processes, if they're always suppressed, and every time we take an ibuprofen or a Tylenol, we're basically suppressing the inflammatory process. And the inflammatory process is actually created by our own immune system. It's really our own immune system that's doing this. And our immune system has a lot of wisdom, and it usually has a purpose in what it's doing. And that's probably also an unconventional thought. But believe me, there's a lot of wisdom in our body and more wisdom than we have in our heads.
And Dr. Nkeo, I hope that that's the message that comes through loud and clear to everybody listening to this program, is as unconventional as it sounds what you just said, this is really grounded in great science. It is a reality. And you're right. Conventionally trained physicians just sort of roll their eyes and think this whole conversation is silly. Yet we know that there are cancer patients out there who have done everything. Conventionally speaking, they've done everything, even non-conventionally, and they're like near death, and they even have death, you know, near death experiences. And then through that experience, and here's where they're going to roll their eyes, Dr. Nkeo, they get this sense in this other world that they're in for minutes to whatever it might be that they're spending there, this sense of, I've got to let go of all this resentment I have, and I've got to start forgiving, and I've got to start loving. And then they come back into this world, they actually survive this kind of experience, and their cancers are gone. And, you know, modern medicine would just say, oh, well, that's a spontaneous remission. We don't really know. Let's get back to the chemo and radiation. I mean, there's no respect being paid to anything that you said today. That's my point.
Actually, everything I've said makes sense. It all makes sense. It's just that I'm looking at the larger picture. I'm not looking at the cellular microscopic level, because you really have to look at the whole. You can't just look at the part. You have to look at the whole body. In former times, not too long ago, we understood that healing occurs, and the saying was, I even heard it in medical school in the 60s, healing occurs by crisis or by lysis. And that was called a healing crisis. So you see, a fever is very often a kind of a healing crisis. A fever is actually trying to heal us. And we think of a fever as a symptom of a terrible illness. And it's a paradox. The fever is at the same time, it's an illness, but it's also a healing. It's a sign of a toxicity in our body, but the fever is what the body is using, the immune system is actually using it, to dissolve the toxicity and to get rid of it, to get it out of our body. So every fever is a detoxification. Every fever is a healing crisis. Of course, that doesn't mean we just let fevers do whatever they do. We have to observe them and watch them and keep them within certain limits. But usually, the great majority of our fevers are controlled by the temperature regulating center in our brain, in our hypothalamus, and they will only rise so far before the fever breaks and then comes down and causes us to sweat a lot, which then eliminates the toxins. And that's why many cultures, they wrap their children in blankets. And then that helps the fever to do what it's trying to do. And then it breaks and you sweat, and then it's like taking a sauna, only you're doing it from the inside out.
And Dr. Nkeo, I know this may be a revelation for a lot of people, and I think it's a good thing, is to turn our attention to cancer again. When a woman has breast cancer on the left side, her left breast, and, you know, that is a cancer tumor that's collecting toxins, and cancer cells have gone crazy in an area and they're creating a tumor size. You know, the body's still trying to survive. We should never forget it. But then if through that, a woman realizes, hey, I've got some emotional issues I have to get over. Maybe I wore a cell phone in my bra for years and years, right where that tumor. I mean, these are all revelations that came out of a serious health problem. And I mean, I think that's just something that we need to appreciate in the next few minutes that we have left. I'm sure you would agree that that's something, you know, that is important for people to recognize.
When we're young, we think we're invulnerable and we can do anything and we don't worry about the long-term effects. Because when we're young, our body is more plastic and it can compensate and adapt for all the abuses that we knowingly and unknowingly inflict on our body. But as we get older, our body does become less plastic, less adaptable, less malleable, and we have to then take more care with all the harmful influences that are around us, from cell phones and secondhand smoke and everything, all the toxins in the environment.
Dr. Nkeo, you mentioned earlier this organization called FACT, which is the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy. Can you please talk to us about this group?
Yes, Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, that was a foundation started by Ruth Sackman, who died in her 90s just a few years ago. And she did a lot of good work working with cancer patients and trying to educate cancer patients. And she would try to help them to change their thinking in a way that would empower them, which is exactly what I've been speaking about for the last 30 minutes here, that the way we think about things in our body and in our lives has a huge impact on the health of our immune system. Our thinking really can influence how our body works. So, and she would try to really empower people to help them to understand how to deal with cancer specifically, quite a bit along the line that I've been speaking today. So she once invited me to give a talk to her yearly conference, and I gave a talk which said, the title of it was Acute Inflammation, the Natural Enemy of Cancer. She really appreciated that because that was exactly the way she had been thinking. When you say, you know, a cancer patient might have an out-of-the-body experience and then might come back and the cancer might have gone away, that sometimes does happen. But also what also happens is a cancer patient can get a very high fever, and sometimes that fever can burn up the cancer and the cancer can be much less after they work through the fever. So an acute inflammation is really the natural enemy of cancer, and that works in a preventative way too, because if we make it a point not to take a lot of antibiotics and not to take a lot of anti-inflammatory and anti-fever drugs, then we will actually lower our risk of cancer in the future. There was a study a few years ago that found that women who took more antibiotics had a higher risk of breast cancer. And I think that's true not just in breast cancer, but just about any kind of cancer, because antibiotics, they don't just kill germs. Antibiotics also cool down the warmth of the immune system. They're cooling down that warmth process that is what dissolves and detoxifies all the toxins in our body. And that means then the toxins will build up if the warmth of the fever and the immune system and the inflammation isn't dissolving the toxins and discharging them, then they will build up, and they can build up and build up and build up and until they can provoke a cancer. Many cancers are produced by environmental toxins. That's well known. Dr. Epstein has been spoken about that and written about that a lot, how environmental toxins cause cancer. So that's an important thing.
And the bottom line is, too, a lot of people, as Dr. Hal Huggins has actually said, I've used this analogy a lot, you can never get dry when you're still standing in a shower with the water running. I mean, that's the bottom line. If you've got toxins pouring in all the time, like, for example, with oral toxins, you know, mercury in the mouth, infected root canals, things like this, and it's infecting your entire digestive tract and your bloodstream, and it's going through your whole body. You know, you take the supplements, you eat healthy food, you know, you're meditating. You know, the toxins are still pouring into your body. As you get older, it's going to take its toll. I've hosted the Holistic Oral Health Summit. I suggest people check it out at holisticoralhealthsummit.com. But Dr. Nkeo, that is so important, what you're saying about cancer patients, especially looking at where is the source of their toxic load coming from. Is it emotional stress? Is it mental stress? Is it the physical stresses in their lives? It is so important that each person take a close look at their own life.
That's very important. Our own thoughts and feelings can also make us toxic. We can have toxic thoughts and feelings, and that's something that doctors never talk about very much and that most people might be unaware of. But that's, we can certainly make ourselves toxic, not only by our lifestyle, by what we eat, by what we're toxins in the environment we're exposed to, but also just by our own inner mental and emotional life. If we harbor, I think you mentioned this, if we harbor resentment for years and years and years, that really has a toxic influence in our body and can eventually cause a cancer. I really believe that.
Dr. Nkeo, I want to thank you so much for your time, and I want to thank our listeners for joining us today. For more information about Dr. Nkeo, please visit philipnkeo.com, and I'll spell it for you, philipnkeo.com. That's philipnkeo.com. Next week, we'll have a great show for you. Be sure to check this page for updates coming soon. If you know someone who would like to hear these free weekly shows, tell them to go to naturalhealth365.com or naturalnews.com and register now. Natural News Talk Hour show recordings, special events, and discounts are available exclusively for Natural Health 365 Inner Circle monthly subscribers. Simply click the banner on this page and subscribe now. I'm your host, Jonathan Landsman. I hope you enjoyed this program. Thank you so much for your support. Talk to you soon. Take care.